Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 18 to verse 24. Two mountains. On which mountain are you? I don't trouble if you're living in the Great Plains or on some plateau. In the sense, I'm asking the question, on which mountain are you? The two mountains, verse 18 to verse 21, Mount Sinai. From verse 22 to verse 24, Mount Zion. On which mountain are you? Verse 18 to 21, Mount Sinai. What are the characteristics of Mount Sinai? It's a physical mountain, a mountain that can be touched. It's burning with fire, darkness, gloom, storm. Look at the words associated with it. Trumpet blast, fear, terrifying, trembling. They begged the people. The people begged Moses. Israel begged Moses that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. Death, darkness, gloom, storm, keep away, fear, terrifying. Mount Sinai. What is the writer doing? He's talking about the law. He's talking about the covenant, the old covenant, the covenant at Sinai, the law of Moses. Wasn't that the law of God? Yes. Wasn't it given by God? Yes. Wasn't it a great privilege to Israel? Yes. Didn't it mark Israel out from all other nations? Yes, yes indeed. But even so, it was a covenant of fear, works, death, flesh, and it was ineffective. And the writer is picturing this in terms of Mount Sinai. Then he turns to verse 22. Mount Zion. Heavenly. We're not talking about a physical mountain now. We're talking about a spiritual mountain. The city of the living God. And look at the words associated with that. Joyful. Assembly. Righteous. Perfect. Jesus. Sprinkled blood. Speaks better things. A better word than the blood of Abel. Joyful words. Welcoming words, hopeful words, encouraging words. And what is he speaking about here? He tells us, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, the gospel, grace, the Spirit, Christ, Jesus Christ. On which mountain are you? What is he saying? You can be under one or two covenants. You can be under one or two systems. There is the system of law. There is the system of grace. There is the system of flesh. There is the system of the Spirit. There is the deadening, killing ministry, written on stones, as he says in 2 Corinthians, as the writer says, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3. And then there is the living, spiritual ministry of the Spirit written on the heart. 2 Corinthians 3 again, Romans 8, 1 to 4, and many other places. Now, what is it here? He's reminding these Jews that you have come away from Sinai and you've come to Zion. What is he saying? You've left law and you come into Christ. You're no longer in the old covenant. You're in the new covenant. And yet, as we know, these Hebrew believers, through growing weary, through opposition and suffering and whatever, have begun to think that they would turn back to Judaism. What? He says, go back to fear, terror, trembling, death. When you've got life, you come to the thousands upon thousands of angels, the spirits of just men made perfect, the church of the firstborn, who come to God, the judge of all men, you come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and you're thinking of going back, you must be fools. Don't go back. Enjoy your privileges in Christ. Of course, it's a heavenly, spiritual place you are, not a physical thing. Of course, the old covenant was visible, audible. You could smell it, you could touch it, you could attend it. It was a place, there were people, there were robes and all the rest of it, sacrifices. The new covenant is invisible, but it's there in reality. It's more real than the old covenant. It's eternal, it's spiritual, and it's all in Christ. So he urges them not to go back, as he goes on immediately to say in verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Don't go back. You see what relevance this is today. We have a whole host of lawmongers, lawmen, telling us that we must preach the law to sinners before we can bring them to Christ. We must preach the law to saints if we would see them sanctified. And then we must make these saints look at their works, the law again, to see if they're assured. These men are doing it overtly, as many are doing it incipiently. They don't know they're doing it, as it were. It's not overt at all, it's just the way they're thinking, because they've been affected by this system. But in effect, what they are doing is taking people who are on Mount Zion and making them live as though they're on Mount Sinai. They're mixing law and gospel. They're mixing flesh and spirit. They're mixing life and death. They're mixing the two covenants. And it can't be done. And no wonder there's so much misery and bondage and fear and lack of joy amongst the believers today. We must come to the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the city of the living God, where there is joy, where there is liberty. There is justification there. There is assurance there. There is sanctification there. And it's all in Jesus by the Spirit, not in the flesh. If you are a preacher, and I mean by that a stated preacher, don't mix law and gospel. Certainly don't preach law. Preach Christ, my friend. Preach the gospel. Preach the covenant of the Spirit. Life. If you are a believer, I urge you, I press you, I plead with you, give up this hybrid mongrel system of law, gospel, gospel, law mixture. Come into the freedom, the assurance, the sanctifying, liberating, glorifying Mount Zion. Come upon that mountain. You're there by your status before God, but enjoy it, live it, feel it. Don't look back to Sinai. And if you're an unbeliever, you haven't a clue what I'm talking about. The truth is, though, you're virtually on Mount Sinai. I know at the bottom, whatever your profession, whatever your religion or no religion, whatever your atheism or whatever it might be, underneath, you're depending on your works. I do this. I live according to my conscience. I live according to my light. I. That is Sinai all over. And I'll tell you the end of it. It's terror. It's perishing. It's death. I'm being loving towards you by telling you that. There is no hope there, my friend. Give up your works and come to Jesus on Mount Zion. And by that I mean, trust him as your Savior. Come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood, and trust in him, and you will be everlastingly saved. And in that, the sprinkled blood, we have the clue to all this, because there is a third mountain, not mentioned here. It's hinted at in Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. Do you know what that third mountain is? There's Mount Sinai, there's Mount Zion. There's a third mountain that makes it all right. What is that? Mount Calvary. For on Mount Calvary, Jesus came under the law, Mount Sinai, was cursed under the law, died under the law, bore the sins of his people under the law. And then he brought us out. Those of us who come into him, he brought us out into Mount Zion. The psalmist speaks of this. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The opposites meet in the gospel. Righteousness, peace, I've forgotten the exact psalm. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And there's another pair as well. And these two meet, these four meet. The opposites, law and grace, life and death meet on Mount Calvary. And Christ bears the sin. Christ bears the penalty and brings us all into liberty who come to him by faith. Here is the passage I was thinking of. It's Psalm 85, verses 10 and 11. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. You see, these are contradictories in a sense. Love, faithfulness, righteousness, peace. But they meet in Jesus on Mount Calvary. So I ask you, my friend, which mountain are you living on? Mount Sinai? Or have you come to Mount Zion through Mount Calvary? What I'm asking is this. Are you trusting in Jesus or not? If you are, use, enjoy, find pleasure in all you have in Christ. Do not go back to law. If you've never come, come to Jesus now. Come and live on Mount Zion.